Hello and welcome to the next 100 Days podcast. My name is Graham Arrowsmith.
And my name's Kevin Appleby. Graham, I can see on the camera in front of me a man who's standing in front of a jukebox and a candy machine. And I thought we were going to talk about call centres. This is going to be an interesting podcast.
Yeah, first of all, he's the sort of person that makes things happen. He's an entrepreneur, and he's going to be a really interesting guest because I don't think we've ever had anybody talking about telemarketing before. But this is a really interesting topic. Lots of you will be interested in hearing more about. Today, we've got Richard Blank, and he is the Chief Executive Officer of Costa Rica Call Center. Richard, welcome to the next 100 Days podcast.
Gentlemen, I'm so happy to be here today. Kevin, Graham, I can't thank you enough for having me as your guest, and I really do look forward to sharing some great ideas with you and your amazing audience.
Well, you didn't have to dress up, Richard. I mean, what can I say? You look so smart.
Gentlemen, when you are showing up for the leading UK business show, you definitely have to come prepared.
And oh, so, I love that.
What happens if our mothers show up? I definitely want to be prepared.
No, but you're not from Costa Rica originally. Part of your story is that you moved there. So tell us a little bit about where you're from and what got you to Costa Rica.
Gentlemen, I'm a very proud Philadelphia. And I was born and raised in Northeast Philadelphia, graduated the proud Abington High School. And what I wanted to do for my career was to study languages. I was under a lot of pressure to follow in my family's footsteps of Harvard, Columbia, and Washington and Lee. I don't think I was Ivy League. I didn't have the structure, discipline, and between us guys, the maturity to do that.
Yeah.
So I studied communication in Spanish, and I knew it would make me versatile and open some doors or at least something I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And little did I know, when I was 27 years old, I had a one in a million opportunity to move to Costa Rica, and I took it. And here we are today, 23 years later.
What was that thing that got you there? Because, I mean, Costa Rica, I mean, for anybody who doesn't know where Costa Rica is, Richard, just tell us where it is.
Of course. It is north of Panama, south of Nicaragua, and real fast, it's the only democratic society in Central America. There's no standing army, so they put all the money back into education. There's a 95% literacy rate. The most neutral English accents, best infrastructure, and companies such as Amazon, HP, Intel, and Oracle are here. We're considered to have advanced skill sets when on a level playing field. And we're just really known for ecotourism and medical tourism. And your buddy's here, so I got 1,000 suggestions for you.
And the point is, you're quite good at football as well.
They are, in fact. I mean, they really pack a punch. And our fans here, they're very loyal. And when those games are happening, especially the World Cup, it really, you get swept up in it and everyone's hugging and high-fiving.
It must be hard for somebody from Philadelphia to understand what football really means. But I mean, having said that, I mean, we forgive you. I mean, you've been in Costa Rica now for long enough to know what it means, of course.
Of course, I'll smile while I sit there. But you know me, I personally prefer American football and ice hockey. But what are you going to do?
No, absolutely. Kevin, sorry, I interrupted you earlier.
Oh, no. I mean, in regards to the story, it's just a lot of the times, gentlemen, you are given opinions or you're expected to follow certain career paths. And it was very difficult for me to compare notes to those that wanted to be second language majors or even a communication major where, let's be forthright, people say that's a party major. Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. But Graham, before we got on to the podcast, you were discussing some of the things that I'd sent to you. And these were the sort of the areas of focus that I had at the university. As a communication major, I decided to study public speaking because most people fear that more than death. I think rhetoric is very important because when you have certain semantics, you can do things in a strategic and diplomatic way and diffuse things.
Yeah.
And thirdly, I wanted a special sauce. I studied micro expression reading, but then I took it a step further and did it sight unseen. And I believe, gentlemen, I cracked a code in regards to phonetic micro-expression reading, which we're definitely going to talk about today.
Well, let's get
to explain that. Simply, yeah, it's like us.
Oh, you want to go to dessert first? Of course.
Well, and Kevin's from Newcastle, and they tend to do things backwards up there. So, but I like the idea of going to phonetic micro-expression. Tell us a little bit more about that, because that's so interesting.
Well, obviously, we love watching the television shows like Lie to Me, where they specifically study body languages. And we all see facial expressions when people do self and object adapters, scratching, tappings. And what happens if you don't have the luxury of sight? I always believe that sound is the purest form. Phonetics is broken down into four sections. You have tone, rate, pitch, and duration. I also believe that when you're studying things, you need a consistent variable for inconsistencies. Let's just use, for argument's sake, a 30-second attention span and conversation segment, so at least we can judge spikes and dips in communication and any sort of adjustments. The tone should always be consistent. I understand people talk about mirror imaging techniques, but we'll get to that in rate and pitch. Your tone, in my opinion, should always be confident and empathetic. If the client is doing it, match it. If not, you stay consistent. But the tone, we're not even paying attention to. I'm still going for the sound. And so I really focus on the speed and the speaking level. And this can be done in any languages. And what you do is you break it down into a simple XY chart, kind of like what you had in high school in pre-algebra. Can you gentlemen see this?
We can, yeah, yeah.
Excellent. And so if you just pay attention to the four quadrants, I'm pretty much in a quadrant one. I'm a, probably about an eight in regards to speed and an eight in regards to sound.
Right.
And if I'm consistent like that every 30 seconds, fine. And subconsciously, if you see any sort of spike or dip, that's usually when I recommend to my agents to interject and ask a clarification question, or we call those tie down or pin down questions. It's really not more for pushing a sale. It's really a checkpoint or putting in a flag, just like the old show, Get Smart. You gotta shut the doors behind you. If you leave one open, then all of a sudden you don't understand why you didn't get the appointment or the conversion. Yeah. So I'd rather go low and slow, thumbs up and checkpoints. And even if it's not obvious where they're waving a red flag and asking me a question, I'm reading somebody. And even if through an insurance policy, gentlemen, if I ask a clarification question, I was way off, I'm still at least learning somebody's read. Now, this is a first time read for people. And I always believe that in the first 30 seconds, I have no idea where you're going. But at least if you're judging them, and by your fifth 30 second, which is an odd man out, you can almost gauge a sort of pattern that these people have. Now, gentlemen, tones, rates, and pitches can be manipulated. You see it in the movies all the time when people are reluctant to give information to an investigator. So in my opinion, and I think you're going to find this funny, that the duration, which is the actual silence in between the speech, to me is the greatest tell sign, because I can manipulate the other three, but subconsciously, it's impossible for you to match your answering speed. And that's why the real clever police officers and those that are asking inquisitive questions will usually plant it third, fourth, or fifth in to see if there's a consistency or a break there. And that's what I've seen. And when you're on the phone for 160 hours a month, year after year, it gets monotonous. So I wanted to see if I could bite an apple when juggling. Could I do something in addition to what I was doing in this controlled focus group, sight unseen, where I'm taking away three of my senses, gentlemen. Taste, touch, and smell do not exist. Hearing should be expanded. And then people say, but what about sight? Well, Kevin and Graham, what about image streaming from the Einstein factor? I think adjectives and your imagination are much better than a photograph. And so if I can really be attentive and really get engaged with active listening, I will catch those tell signs. And is it manipulation? No, it's much more controlled conversation.
I don't know about you, Kevin, but I'm not as bright as Kevin. So I'm not sure I understood all of that, Richard. But I mean, at the end of the day, I think what you're saying is that you can actually, because at the end of the day, the commercial part of this is about talking to somebody on the phone with a commercial purpose. So you're trying to, if you like, understand and actually help them in a way, because if this the thing that I've got is for you, then I want to do my very best to allow you to effectively hear it and get to know about it. So your intervention with your staff and training them in these things, and you know, whether or not I understand phonetic micro expression, after this last session, I should know a little bit more about it. But that's the reason that you're an expert in this sort of field, is because you're imparting that knowledge to people who you're training to become excellent on the telephone. Have I got that bit right?
My good friend, Graham, I never studied architecture, but no. Somebody could walk into the Sistine Chapel and explain certain pressure points and certain dimensions. Mm-hmm. I've never created a car before, but I could see it, but somebody could explain an engine to me. Yeah. What I've done is just made it a little more lucid. But let me explain something else. Let me take it back a step further. The only way to have a real read is if it's neutral. You have to be an arbitrary. Because if you call a company, most gatekeepers will say, we're good, thank you, and hang up. Or if you get to speak to a decision maker, they clock watch you. They're interrupting you. They're halfway paying attention to you. So in my opinion, it's not really a true read. That's really not Kevin and Graham. So sometimes you need to set the pace or reset a tone in order to see if someone does bark or if they really do bite. But let me give another piece of advice for those that are prospecting businesses. I believe that some people say the gatekeeper, I see them as an ally. They're a plethora of information and they're the ones that will give you the pass to pitch. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing that I do when I make a phone call to a brand new area is I'll do a company name spike. Instead of saying, may I speak to Kevin, please, or is Graham available, or this is Richard Blank with Costa Rica's call center, ring, ring, the phone answers there. I'm going to say, hey, how's the next 100 days doing today? Huh. What does that do? It shows my anonymity just for the first time, not for the whole call. That's shady. It reduces any sort of ego defense from the gatekeeper. It gives me almost the impression that I'm familiar with the place and been there before. And let's be realistic. I reduce their defense from a 10 to about a 6. So then they're going to say to me, oh, you sound like Mr. Friendly Nice. What is your name? My name is Kevin. And then I would do a buffer boomerang technique. Gentlemen. Yeah. I will readjust a negative tone by saying, Kevin, that's an excellent question. My name is Richard Blank, and I would send it right back at you. You show attentive, active listening. You repeat the question. You name drop them, and you send their negative two as a plus two right back at them. And then the secretary likes me again. And then the final thing, gentlemen, which is the icing on the cake, it's called the positive escalation. I do it verbally, and I do it written. Before I get transferred from Kevin to Graham, I'm going to let Kevin know, Kevin, you were so helpful with me today. I'm going to let Kevin know that. Then I get transferred to Graham. Graham goes, hello, this is Graham, the head of 100 Next Days. Hey, Graham, I just got to let you know, Kevin's the greatest employee you got working with you. You don't even know me. You're going to go, wow, you sound a nice guy.
I love the fact that you've pigeonholed him as my secretary. I love that. That's fantastic.
I did that on purpose, Graham.
No,
you owe me $100.
We'll have to sort this out afterwards, Graham.
Exactly. We'll set it off later.
He'll edit. You know what's going to happen, Richard? He's going to edit this out. He'll swap the words around. It'll be great.
Oh, you guys are the greatest. I love this digging. You guys,
but what honestly, that was one of the best
ethics, values, and morals yet. Have I lied on the phone yet? All I did was add momentum, use what you're familiar with, which is your company name, show good faith by talking about Kevin and Graham, doing it verbally. And then when I follow up with you at the end of the call, I'm going to say, thank Kevin again for me. And then the Richard Circle happens when I call your company back. And then Kevin tells me your extension number, your anniversary, promotions.
Yeah.
It's incredible what that sort of gift is given to you when you build a pipeline and you take your time.
Kevin's still thinking about being a secretary, but I mean, don't worry so much about that.
A lot less hassle than what I actually do, Graham. You might be able to work in 9 to 5 and put the job down at the end of the day and go off and do something completely different instead. I fancy that idea.
Do you know,
Richard, how to become a secretary?
No. Seriously, Richard, that's one of the best and most clearly thought through processes to actually engage somebody who's new to you that I think I've ever heard. I mean, I deal with a lot of people. People come to me and say, can you help me find, in my case, high net worth individuals, investors, whatever? And a lot of them want to do it on the telephone. And it's usually quite a good way of doing it. But they're not script ready. They haven't got a script in, and certain the scripts that they come up with would be nothing like ones that you've just indicated.
Let's all slow down for a second, my good friend. I need to be sincere If not, you'll see right through it. And may I share something with you? I always believe in romantic deaths. I'm a telemarketer. And let's just say hypothetically, Kevin does hang up on me, or after I get transferred, you're not interested by default. At least I name dropped, I positive escalated, my company name spiked. And if you're going to hang up on me, my God, was that a glorious death. At least I got a couple name drops out of it. And we call that jumping clouds. And secondly, if I may make a suggestion, we use a thesaurus here. Since English is their second language, and you brought up a great example, Graham, you have these amazing people that come to you that ask for help. That to me is an immediate timeout. I like to readjust tones. I would make a suggestion to the agent to use words such as guide, assist, or even my favorite, because it's the double-double, gentlemen, lend a hand, because it gives you the audio and the visual. You can imagine it. So anytime you can do a double dip when you're speaking with colorful language, I give you extra points in our quality assurance scores.
I'm finding this quite amazing. You personally...
I'm just waiting to see the transformed Graham Arrowsmith when he's on a phone call with a potential client.
I'm the one thing about this, I'm going to listen to the beginning of this and actually try and implement some of this stuff. Having said that, it may well be a lot easier, Richard, to just to refer some of the people that come through to me to you, and you know, for your team to handle it, because it seems to me that you can do a hell of a lot better job than they can themselves. However, does it work over here in the UK? Do you find that you know, foreign accents, even though English is a second language, does that somehow, I don't know, is there, I don't know, irritate is maybe the wrong word, but does that prevent people from engaging as quickly as maybe when it's American to American or whatever?
I believe that universally a smile is accepted, wiping your feet before you go in someone's house and asking permission. Does it mean that I'm going to get 10 minutes on the call? No, but I think, gentlemen, I'm interesting enough that you might give me another 30 seconds of time to establish who I am, to understand your protocol, and to see if I can get another 30 seconds to explain myself. And that's why in the beginning, what I try to do is to at least give myself a buffer and to give myself a little bit of push off the wall in the pool momentum. Yeah. I need that physics, because my action will be creating a reaction. And as polished as I am, some of these people are jaded. Or possibly, gentlemen, something is happening outside the office. You and I have no idea what's going on. And they're a hammer looking for nails. And so I mentioned the romantic death, so it's nothing personal. I'm playing perfect hands. But if I can snap you out of this trance for a second, and let's be forthright, possibly say the name of your company better than you do, I might be teaching you a lesson. And so it could possibly make you a little bit more humble and to realize that there are other people on the other side of the phone. But I've done my due diligence. If I were calling the UK, and I would be doing this, I would be talking about Basil Rathbone and Jeremy Brett and how much I love those shows. Oh, and finally, I would throw in Hyacinth Bouquet from Keeping Up Appearances, because those are my favorite shows. And you know perfectly well I'd be buying at least a minute talking about, you know, Hyacinth Bouquet and their riparian entertainment. I mean, I love those shows. It was the greatest.
Well, they were great in the 80s, but I do understand the point you're making, though, and that really would buy you a few seconds, that's for sure.
And I'm looking to anchor, brother. I'm just looking to grab onto the rock to pull myself up. That's it. I need to anchor somehow or some way.
So is your secret sauce, or is your skill set, the whole training that you've gone through, the learning that you never stop, is it all about that first 30 seconds?
Well, that's just the structure to at least readjust their tone so I can get a normal read from them. If not, I'm going to be the hung up on telemarketer. That's what I'm trying to say. We need to reset them. Not 100%, but at least enough. But I also believe in paintings and prints. And if you do the same call over and over again, you're going to be making the same burger. But if you take each one where at least you need to have the 70% structure, because there is some sort of question answering, qualifying and contracts. But if you can zig and zag that 30% to let things happen naturally, I'd rather be an artist that's free compared to commissioned. And if you restrain me to a 10-minute phone call and I have to hang up on Kevin and Graham because the clock's going, I don't want to work in that environment. Maybe the gentleman would like to speak to me for another 5 minutes so I can confirm email addresses with the military alphabet, or just to do my meeting minutes. So when I send you my email to recap everything, because we need to delegate target dates and responsibilities and with whom we're going to be working together, maybe I'm the one that does it 1985 style by doing shorthand dictation checkpoints, because it works that way. Mm-hmm. That's all. And so as long as two different companies can combine our resources where there's no surprises, and we can make suggestions and keep open minds and do a Lennon McCartney, there's no reason why we can't grow.
You know, what's coming across to me, Kevin, is that Richard could just about charm the pants off anybody. I think he's got this, he's got this lovely smile. He's got a complete understanding of, if shall we say, of the human psyche, particularly in that sort of, you can't see me, I'm on the phone. Probably even better when you can actually see us, but you can't see me, I'm on the phone. If you are as good as I think you are, is the, do you get a measurably uplift in terms of results compared to others in your field?
Brilliant question. Let's refer to call center metrics. The basic metrics are KPIs, which are key performance indicators. Talk time, wrap up time, first call resolution, yes. The shebang, okay? What would happen with me is instead of making 100 phone calls a day, I'd probably be about 83. And instead of 10-minute talk time, I'd probably be about a 16-minute. And then in regards to wrap up time, where I'm entering information into the CRM, that would probably take a couple extra minutes. Why? Because I took copious notes about Kevin. Mm. I took also additional notes about Graham. Mm. And so I'm talking about those extra special sauces that will at least increase my odds when taking into consideration the contracts. But this is what I give the most points, gentlemen. And you're going to call me crazy on this, but I give 500 points, even though you're supposed to only give 100. I do it when the client says my name, not in the introduction, not in the conclusion, but in the body of the call. And let me explain, usually, gentlemen, when I introduce myself, but that's usually in the middle of the call and you go, it's Richard, right? And then you use it the rest of the time. It usually happens during a Me Too moment. What's a Me Too moment? Well, since people are working at home from now, you might hear dogs barking in the background. Might be ruining the call. And so what I try to do inadvertently and passive aggressively is A, say, hey, I love dogs, but I just don't say I love dogs. I do two more questions. What's the dog's name? Oh, and what type of breed it is? And then I finish it up with, and how old is your puppy? She's 9 years old. That's great. And then they realize the dog is being a little loud on the phone. Yeah. So then they put the dog outside and then they go, oh, your name was Richard again? It is Richard again, Mrs. Jones, of course. And then it's, and then your name dropping me the rest of the call. And so why do I give the most points on that? Nothing else matters. If you and I anchor with personal name drops in the body of the call, my main man, you can stumble, you can drop it, you could almost, it's yours to lose. There's no more 30 seconds anymore. You got the dog, you got the name drop, and guess what, gentlemen? You got the time.
Yeah.
And how do I crack codes? I wish I had $1 million crack code for you. But Graham, you complimented me on human nature. Mm. I think if individuals respect each other to use first names, then you have that connection on the call. And that is not selling. That's building relationships.
Wow, that's powerful stuff. And you know, the biggest threat to this podcast is Kevin's dogs.
Dogs frequently interrupt this podcast. I've chucked them out the door today, Graham. There's not a chance.
Oh, well, they'll be scratching at the. Actually, I've got a dog coming in about another hour or so to the house. So I'm kind of looking forward to having a dog in the house. But that's another story and up for another day. But going back to you, Richard, one of the things about you is obviously you are this Philadelphian boy. You've nipped over to Central America. Lovely place. Time zone, is it about 6 hours behind us, something like that? I don't know if that's more or less right.
We're on Central time zone right now.
Oh, right. Is that 7 hours behind or is it 6 hours behind? So what time is it now with you?
We're looking about 9:30 my time.
9:30. Yeah, 6 hours. So basically, your business then calls people. You've got a call center, and you call people. What, throughout America or the Americas throughout the world? How does that work?
Actually, Graham, the call center split half and half. We do outbound and also inbound.
Okay.
And I'm also very, very selective. Unlike what you've seen in Hollywood with the Wolf of Wall Street, Glengarry, Glen Ross, and Boiler Room, not all call centers sell stock.
No.
I'm in a very strict Catholic country. Yeah. So I'm exceptionally conservative in regards to the campaigns in which I accept. There are five I do not do. Costa Rica's call center does not do sports books, casinos, stocks, pharmacies, or sweepstakes. Okay. I have nothing against it, but I just want to make sure that the agents can go home and tell their parents what they do for a living. And I'm also a guest in this country. And to add to my flair, I married the woman of my dreams when I moved here, and she and I built this business together. And so it's really a whirlwind story that was a one in a million shot. But no, we do half and half. We do outbound lead generation. We do appointment setting, inbound customer support. We even do back office non-voice support. And gentlemen, today, most places prefer omni-channel non-voice with chat and emails. And we all know that it's frustrating. It's latent. You don't get the responses you want. And the next thing you know, if you do get somebody on the phone, you're going to pop. And so I believe that the best relationships for retention, for upselling, for referrals, or even best case scenario, exit interview if you lose the client, is by having that verbal interpersonal communication relationship.
Yeah. And do you... I don't suppose there is a market. We're doing this via Zoom, aren't we? So we're talking to everybody live, and we're doing it using Zoom. And this is Kevin and I have been using this for some time. We used to do the podcast on Skype, but then it got a bit. Kevin worked out in the Middle East, and it was I might as well have been talking to his dog rather than Kevin, because it was breaking down every damn minute, wasn't it, Kevin? It was awful. But
it was faster trying to do that. Yeah.
But Zoom is brilliant. And I wonder, do you ever sort of use Zoom as a sort of a communications channel? Like you say, you're doing this sort of chat thing. But what about Zoom? Is that an opportunity for you as a business?
Of course. I mean, when potential clients see me dressed, as you say, smartly, and I can pick up the camera and walk the rows at my center so they can see it, that's definitely an advantage. And also, since COVID hit, the majority of our agents, by labor law, we had to send them home. And and some of them come back for hybrid, and there's positives and negatives to that. But you want to know what my positive is when I get to see people's backgrounds and I get to tease them for stuffed animals or something, you know, but it really gets a chance to see what people are doing. And you know how fortunate I was to be able to survive COVID when mom and pop brick and mortars did not have that luxury. Maybe I'm selfish because I like to be with people. I believe in synergy. And guys, I collect pinball machines and Pac-Man machines. So I love my game room, and we like to play in there and bond in there. And I believe that sort of special sauce that I have to build that sort of company culture was taken away from me. Mm-hmm. And it just became very metric driven, superficial, virtual, when our environment is so integrated, where people are next to one another, they're feeding off the energy, they're listening to the sound of the floor. It's an artistic environment. And so unless people are doing dedicated practice to keep them in skill, I've seen, even though the numbers are fine, I think they've lost a little bit of their spring in their step and their finesse.
One of the questions I have for you, I was reading your website earlier, and I came across this phrase, which I have to compliment you on, because it says, you're talking about script writing and a telemarketing script. And you say something, it says, most come to know that telling is not selling on a telephone call. Telling is not selling. What do you mean by that?
Can I give you a visual? Two ears and one mouth. You should listen as much, twice as much than you speak. I know what I know. I don't know what you know. And so it's very easy through, as Sherlock Holmes used to say, deductive reasoning, allowing you to tell me where to go while I'm still guiding your huge ship with a little rudder. It's that easy.
Okay.
And a lot of the times people do desert pitching, where there's a lot of pitching with no oasis. Do you understand that people take bites, they take breaths, and they take sips? They should also do the same with information. And so that's why we were talking 30 seconds earlier in regards to attention spans. Mm. And so I think, like a boxer, it's a give and a take. And even how about this? There is positive and negative reinforcement. And if you keep talking, I have no idea if you're interested. And you want to know where that's the best example? When you're giving a list to somebody of your options, you should bring it out like a dessert tray, because your horizontal needs to turn into a vertical, because you have 10 options. But if you like the third, hold off on the other seven, slow down for a second, take your horizontal third, move it into a vertical. And gentlemen, you stack that with open-ended questions.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Well, your staff, they must be the best trained staff in the whole of telemarketing kingdom. I mean, do you just take anyone and make them mini geniuses? I mean, how does it work? Can you literally Henry Higgins anybody into this powerhouse?
Everybody has their own forced march. I can't hit the ball and drag Johnny. And I tell you what, gentlemen, I'm disappointed more than I am angry. You see today, I'm sweating. Joe up in a suit, I'm giving you 100%.
I can't see the sweat. Can you see the sweat, Kevin?
Well, I'm putting it into it.
Sure that being in Costa Rica, it must be warm.
Yeah, it's about 0 degrees out there, but I mean, but don't worry about it.
But you kind of hear the grit and the vigor that I'm putting into this podcast today.
Yeah.
Am I selling a book? There's no book. There's no 1995 seminar. I am not asking anything from anybody. But to answer your question in regards to spirituality, this was a one in a million gift that was given to me. So success is built on a million thank yous. So I am trying desperately to pay this forward as much as I can. And over the course of 2 decades, I've trained over 10,000 people. And don't kid yourself, there are even some haters out there. And that's fine, because I believe that these people at the end who, let's say, have a disagreement with me, they started strong, and I agree if someone wants to leave for other opportunities, but I also believe in looking in my eyes, shaking my hand and saying, Richard, we had a wonderful run. So if we bump into each other one day, it's not awkward. I wanted to do my part. This is a call center industry. There's huge attrition. I'd be lucky if someone stays at my center for 6 months, within the industry 2 years. But we just celebrated our 15th, and I've had people with me for 13 years.
Wow.
So as much as I want to pound my chest and say, look at me, now I'd like to say that the market speaks. And I believe that if people have options, the birds came back to me. And maybe my small environment, by giving you your dignity and I making you expendable and extending empathy, because you're making these calls and receiving these calls and showing up every day, Kevin and Graham, and showing job stability. And being on these amazing podcasts, which is such an honor to be on your show today, to represent Costa Rica, maybe shatter some misconceptions, and even make my mother proud. That's what I'm doing here today.
Well, you're certainly doing that, and I'm certain of that. And you know, who wouldn't be proud of somebody who's achieved so much, and to do it in such an elegant way. I mean, you are quite different from our normal guest, I have to say. I mean, you would have, I'm just going to speak as I find, I think you'd have walked it into the Harvards of the world, because the, you know, it seems to me that it's their loss, and well, bugger them. At the end of the day, you've made a huge impact in your world, and you know, you've got to be complimented for that, because the end of the beauty of this podcast, Richard, is that we are fortunate to meet people like you, and we get a little slither of understanding from each person. The thing is, with you, it's not a slither; it's a bit wider than that, and that speaks very highly to you, because you've got so much to give.
Just remember that gold and jewels, they lose their luster. Money, everyone can have money. We want to know the greatest gift that I gave to myself, that I was true to my 18-year-old self, that decided to put all the chips on me and take that chance on that Spanish language and going to Arizona and moving to Costa Rica. And so I'm so proud of that young man.
Yeah.
For having that sort of backbone to... You know what, guys? If you never leave a castle, you never slay a dragon. If you don't slay a dragon, you don't save a princess, and then you don't become a prince. I wanted my adventure. Mm. I wanted to live life. Yeah. And I had to get past sometimes parents' guilt. I sometimes had to be a little selfish. But if I could get past those naysayers and grave believers and do things with honorable intentions and good faith, mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I could look at myself in the mirror and make my own bed. And I think a lot of your audience understands where I'm going with that.
So is your wife Grace then?
Oh, she most certainly is. Grace Bourbon, a beautiful Costa Rican princess.
And she, you've clearly batted above your level. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean,
right? I married the prom queen.
I'm sure she'll agree with me, but she's way too good for you. I mean, at the end of the day, but ooh. Having said that, I'm sure you're perfectly happy together. So the beauty
don't mind
of,
if I play that on loop in my home, do
no,
you?
No. She's lovely. But the beauty is, the nice thing is that you work together. How does that work out?
Different floors in different departments. She's the head of human resources.
Yeah.
Would you say I'm the prima donna of the band? Sure. I mean, I'm the guy that does the training, the marketing, and she does all of the heavy lifting. Mm. She works with the government agencies. She works with the contract. She's finishing her law degree.
Right.
She packs a super punch. And if it weren't for Grace Bourbon and the sort of individuals that we brought in to support me in different departments, in the IT department, in regards to security, supervision, my trunk of a tree would have never had branches and roots. It would never sustained itself. Yeah. I needed local talent to get me better prices on computers to assist me. So I wouldn't, let's be realistic, get ripped off or taken advantage of, or possibly not had a callback. And so I needed to build an A team down here, and she was definitely the starting quarterback.
Well, that's no question about that. But the beauty of the fact that you've got this great team, if you had to advise our listeners right now, completely selflessly, and say, look, these three things you need to do if you're not going to engage, the best thing to do is to engage you guys. But let's just park that for a minute. Most people won't. So if we offer them advice, three things that you can offer them that they might be able to get done over the next, say, 100 days, what would those three things be that would improve the odds of them being successful on the telephone?
Oh, just purely on the telephone. And then I think the first thing would be, of course, dedicated practice. I believe you need to record yourself. It shouldn't be your script. You should read anything. You should do it with conviction. My suggestion would be to pause before names and numbers and use personal pronouns with a quarter second slide on it to emphasize it and reset yourself in the middle of sentences. Focus on transitional sentences. Focus on tie downs and confirmation questions. And also, as I mentioned before, using the thesaurus for more choice vocabulary. And then also be bold. And if you have the luxury of time to do a little bit of due diligence prior to a phone call, look at a LinkedIn profile or a website. You might be, if you researched me, you would look at my Art Deco building with the neon lights. You'd see my pinball machines. You'd see the limousine. You'd read about my history. And if you called me up and mentioned those things, I would give you at least 10 minutes of time, yours to lose. So I've seen that that's been adding some sort of mileage. Secondly, I think you also should be open for suggestions. We all have egos, but these are the voices that were given to us. And so I think things need to be adjusted accordingly. As much as I had mentioned my mentors earlier, Basil Rathbone and Jeremy Brett, and I also enjoyed as well Pierce Brosnan as Remington Steele and Dirk Benedict as the A-Team. I know I'm dating myself, but these were incredibly glib speakers that charmed you. And instead of the brawn, I was looking at the tongue. I was looking at this and I thought it was amazing what you could do.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe you should watch some of these amazing shows of speakers. And it's not plagiarism, but there's no reason why you can't enhance your vocabulary, especially listening to the Basil Rathbone, Sherlock Holmes with Nigel Bruce. I mean, I would pause it and write and look up certain words. And here's the skinny. I couldn't sound like I had Queen's English. It was out of place for someone from Philadelphia. But if there were certain sort of questions that I could use, and I could do it with a Philadelphian tone with proper vocabulary, I took it. So be humble. There are individuals, as you were mentioning earlier, that might have cracked some codes prior. And then finally, you need to give yourself me time. There are times to decompress, either in the gym or washing a convertible car, playing pinball. But if you can give yourself at least 20 minutes of a decompressed mindset, your mind starts wandering. And then you can prioritize and maybe Graham and Kevin realize you overextended yourself. Maybe your tone was inappropriate. And that's a lot of the time. And my final suggestion is, if you're capable of saying you're sorry or asking for an apology, or even writing a draft and not sending it or sleeping on it, then that's a sign of maturity and impulse control. And also showing that a relationship or even a budding relationship is worth fighting for.
One of the best podcasts we've had, Kevin.
That's the three things.
Yeah, I know, but he's over-delivered as always. What I want to say to you, Richard Blank, is thank you for being on the next 100 Days podcast.
Gentlemen, the pleasure was mine. I really enjoyed your company.
Oh, Graham. Wow, that was a very different podcast recording than the one that I was expecting.
Very much so.
It really wasn't a conversation about why you should go and use a telemarketing center in Costa Rica. That was really about how do you go about getting into people's psyche with communication?
Yeah.
How do you get beyond that first 30 seconds? How do you get some rapport with people? How do you build a relationship? How do you get on first name terms? Well, and the list continues.
Richard studied communication and Spanish at the University of Arizona, and the sort of detail in which he's gone into to get a real understanding of the way in which people can communicate effectively. I've heard it so many times, Kevin. People, you know, they call you up on the phone and, you know, 6 seconds in, you just want to slam it down because it's just not engaged you. Hmm. And then midway through the podcast, he shared a way in which he could engage us. And the way in which he did that and the explanation that came with it is worth listening to this podcast several times over. So if you're listening to this, press replay and go through it again.
Because I'm conscious that we got into some very deep stuff
very quickly, yeah.
Early in the conversation,
yeah,
without really putting it into context. Now go back and listen to those first things that Richard said about, was it micro-communication?
Yeah, phonetic. But the point about Richard's phonetic micro expression. I think it was
the one. That was the one.
And,
right.
And for mastering verbal tell signs. So, you know, if the thing is, there's so much more that we can dig into. It's like an encyclopedia on this. And the way in which he comes across, what was really nice is used some English artists, if you like, to help him, you know, form a style of communication. And I probably said that wrong, but nonetheless,
it's saying that about listening to Rich. Is he really from Philadelphia?
Yeah, well,
not American accent there, but he could be British. Well, he's talking.
I don't think he was going to be British, but you could have almost said that he'd lived in Britain for a while. And the fact that he's listened to Hyacinth Bouquet, it says it all.
Bucket
or Mrs. Yeah. But the it's so engaging, and it does lend a bit of time because you want to know more. Love this episode. It's been an absolute pleasure meeting and having sharing a bit of time with Richard Blank. If you want to find out more about Richard and his business, it's all one word now, Costa Rica Call Center, the American spelling of center, .com. So that's Costa Rica Call Center. And then you'll be able to find out more about Richard and how he might be able to help your company, because I know that he can help you, whether
Brian,
that's inbound or not.
Communication skills. You'd have thought he'd learn how to spell center properly.
Well, yeah, I know. But I mean, the majority of his clients, I'm sure, would spell it ER instead of RE. But I still think they're right and we're wrong. It just doesn't seem right, center, does it? Center forward, or I don't know, maybe not. We're going off on a tangent. But today, well, it's been another brilliant podcast, this time with Richard Blank of Costa Rica Call Center. He's been brilliant. I've been Graham Arrowsmith.
I've been Kevin Appleby. Goodbye.
Goodbye.